This is the ephemeral creature's daily life. As long as the human animal is lodged, and a dense nether nature screens the soul, as long as intellect's outward gazing sight serves earthly interests and creature joys, an incurable littleness pursues its days. Ever since consciousness was born on earth, life is the same in insect, ape, and man. Its stuff unchanged, its way the common route. If new designs, if richer details grow, and thought is added, and more tangled cares, if little by little it wears a brighter face, still even in man, the plot is mean and poor. A gross content prolongs his fallen state. His small successes are failures of the soul. His little pleasures punctuate frequent griefs. Hardship and toil are the heavy price he pays for the right to live, and his last wages, death. An inertia sunk towards inconscience, a sleep that imitates death, is his repose. A puny splendor of creative force is made his spur to fragile human works, which yet outlast their brief creator's breath. He dreams sometimes of the revels of the gods, and sees the Dionysian gesture pass. A leonine greatness that would tear his soul if through his failing limbs and fainting heart the sweet and joyful mighty madness swept. Trivial amusements stimulate and waste the energy given to him to grow and be. His little hour is spent in little things. A brief companionship with many jars, a little love and jealousy and hate, a touch of friendship and indifferent crowds draw his heart plan on life's diminutive man. If something great awaits, too frail is speech to reveal its zenith tension of delight, his thought to eternize its ephemeral soul. Heart's brilliant gleam is a pastime for his eyes, a thrill that smites the nerves is music's spell. Amidst his harassed toil and welter of cares, pressed by the labor of his crowding thoughts, he draws sometimes around his aching brow nature's calm, mighty hands to heal his life pain. He is saved by her silence from his wreck of self. In her tranquil beauty is his purest bliss. A new life dawns, he looks out from vistas wide. The spirit's breath moves him, but soon retires. His strength was not made to hold that puissant breast. All dulls down to convention and routine. Or a fierce excitement brings him vivid joys. His days are tinged with the red hue of strife, and lust's hot glare and passion's crimson stain. Battle and murder are his tribal game. Time has he none to turn his eyes within and look for his lost self and his dead soul. His motion on too short an axis wheels. He cannot soar, but creeps on his long road. Or if, impatient of the tragic time, he would make a splendid haste on fate's slow road. His heart that runs soon panks and tires and sinks, or he walks ever on and finds no end. hardly a few can climb to greater life. All tunes to a low scale and conscious pitch. His knowledge dwells in the house of ignorance. His force nears not even once the omnipotent. Rare are his visits of heavenly ecstasy. The bliss which sleeps in things and tries to wake breaks out in him in a small joy of life. This scanty grace is his persistent stay. It lightens the burden of his many ills and reconciles him to his little world. He is satisfied with his common average kind. Tomorrow's hopes and his old rounds of thought, his old familiar interests and desires, he has made a thick and narrowing hedge, defending his small life from the invisible. His being's kinship to infinity, he has shut away from him into inmost self. Fenced off the greatnesses of hidden God, his being was formed to play a trivial part in a little drama on a petty stage. In a narrow plot, he has pitched his tent of life beneath the wide gaze of the starry vast. He is the crown of all that has been done. Thus is creation's labor justified. This is the world's result, nature's last pause. And if this were all, and nothing more were meant, if what now seems were the whole of what must be, if this were not a state through which we pass on our road from matter to eternal self, to the light that made the worlds, the cause of things, well might interpret our mind's limited view, existence as an accident in time, illusion or phenomenon, or freak, the paradox of a creative thought which moves between unreal opposites, inanimate force struggling to feel and know, matter that chanced to read itself by mind, in conscience monstrously engendering soul. At times all looks unreal and remote. We seem to live in a fiction of our thoughts, peace from sensations, fanciful traveler's tale, or caught on the film of the recording brain, a figment of circumstance in cosmic sea. A somnambulist walking under the moon, an image of ego, trades through an ignorant dream, counting the moments of a spectral time. In a false perspective of effect and cause, trusting to a specious prospect of world space, it drifts incessantly from scene to scene, whither it knows not, to what fabulous verge. All here is dreamed, or doubtfully exists, but who the dreamer is, and whence he looks, is still unknown, or only a shadowy guess. All the world is real, but ourselves too small, insufficient for the mightiness of our stage. A thin life curve crosses the titan whirl of the orbit of a soulless universe, and in the belly of the sparse coiling mass, a mind looks out from a small casual globe and wonders what itself and all things are. And yet, to some interned subjective sight, that strangely has formed in matter's sightless stuff, a pointillage minute of little self takes figure as world being's conscious base. Such is our scene in the half-light below. This is the sign of matter's infinite. This is the word purpose of the picture shown to science, the giantess, measurer of her feet, as she pours on the record of her close survey and mathematizes her huge external world to reason bound within the circle of sense, or in thoughts broad in palpable exchange, speculator in tenuous vast ideas, abstractions in the void her currency, we know not with what firm values for its base. Only religion in this bankruptcy presents its dubious riches to our hearts, or science unprovisioned checks on the beyond. Our poverties shall there have its revenge. Our spirits depart, discarding a futile life, into the black unknown, or with them take death's passport to immortality. Yet was this only a provisional scheme, a false appearance sketched by limiting sense, mind's insufficient self-discovery, an early attempt, a first experiment. This was a toy to amuse the infant earth, but knowledge ends not in these surface powers that live upon a ledge in the ignorance and dare not look into the dangerous depths or to stare upward measuring the unknown. There is a deeper seeing from within, and when you have left these small purlieus of mind, a greater vision meets us on the heights, in the luminous wideness of the spirit's gaze. At last there wakes in us a witness soul that looks at truths unseen and scans the unknown, then all assumes a new and marvelous face. The world quivers with a godlight at its core. In time's deep heart, high purposes move and leap. Life's borders crumble and join infinity. This broad, confused, yet rigid scheme becomes a magnificent imbroglio of the gods, again a work ambiguously divine. Our seekings are short-lived experiments made by a wordless and inscrutable power, testing its issues from inconscient night to meet its luminous self of truth and bliss. It peers at the real through the apparent form. It labors in our mortal mind and sense, amid the figures of the ignorance, in the symbol pictures drawn by word and thought. It seeks the truth to which all figures point. It looks for the source of light with vision's lamp. It works to find the doer of all works, the unfelt self within, who is the guide, the unknown self above, who is the goal. All is not here a blinded nature's task. A word, a wisdom, watches us from on high, a witness sanctioning our will and works, an eye unseen in the unseen vast. There is an influence from a light above. There are thoughts remote and sealed eternities. A mystic motive drives the stars and suns. In this passage from a deaf unknowing force to struggling consciousness and transient breath, a mighty supernature waits on time. The world is other than we now think and see. Our lives a deeper mystery than we have dreamed. Our minds are starters in the race to God. Our souls deputed selves of the Supreme. Across the cosmic field, through narrow lanes, asking a scanty dole from fortune's hands, and garbed in beggar's robes, there walks the One. Even in the theater of these small lives, behind the act, a secret sweetness breathes, an urge of miniature divinity. A mystic passion from the wells of God flows through the guarded spaces of the soul, a force that helps, supports the suffering earth, an unseen nearness and a hidden joy. There are muffled throbs of laughter's undertones, the murmur of an occult happiness, an exaltation in the depths of sleep, a heart of bliss within a world of pain. An infant nursed on nature's covered breast, an infant playing in the magic woods, fluting to rapture by the spirit's dreams, awaits the hour when we shall turn to his call. In this investiture of fleshly life, a soul that is a spark of God survives, and sometimes it breaks through the sordid screen and kindles a fire that makes us half divine. In our body's cells, there sits a hidden power that seeks the unknown and plans eternity. Our smallest parts have room for deeper needs. There too the golden messengers can come. A door is cut in the mud wall of self. Across the lowly threshold, with bowed heads, angels of ecstasy and self-giving pass, and lodged in an inner sanctuary of dream, the makers of the image of deity live. Pity is there, and fire-wing sacrifice, and flashes of sympathy and tenderness cast heaven lights from the heart's secluded shrine. A work is done in these deep silences, a glory and wonder of spiritual sense, a laughter in beauty's everlasting space, transforming world experience into joy, inhabit the mystery of the untouched gulfs, lulled by time's beats, eternity sleeps in us. In the sealed hermetic heart, the happy core, unmoved behind this outer shape of death, the eternal entity prepares within its matter of divine felicity, its reign of heavenly phenomenon. Even in our skeptic mind of ignorance, a foresight comes of some immense release. Our will lifts towards it, slow and shaping hands. Each part in us desires its absolute. Our thoughts cover the everlasting light. Our strength derives from an omnipotent force, and since from a veiled God's joy the worlds were made, and since eternal beauty asks for form, even here where all is made of beings of dust, our hearts are captured by ensnaring shapes. Our very senses blindly seek for bliss. Our error crucifies reality to force his birth and divine body here, compelling, incarnate in a human form and breathing in limbs that one can touch and clasp. Its knowledge to rescue ancient ignorance, its savior light, the inconsummate universe. And when that greater self comes a sea-like down to fill this image of a transience, all shall be captured by delight, transformed. In waves of undreamed ecstasy shall roll our mind and life and sense, and laugh in a light other than this hard, limited human day. The body's tissues thrill, apotheosized, its cells sustain bright metamorphosis. This little being of time, this shadow soul, this living dwarf figurehead, of darkened spirit, out of its traffic of petty dreams shall rise. Its shape of person and its ego face, divested of this mortal travesty, like a clay troll kneaded into a god, new made in the image of the eternal guest, it shall be caught to the breast of a white force, and flaming with this paradisal touch, in a rose fire of sweet spiritual grace, in the red passion of its infinite change, quiver away and shudder with ecstasy. As if reversing a deformation spell, released from the black magic of the night, renouncing servitude to the dark abyss, it shall learn at last who lived within unseen and seized with marvel in the adoring heart to the enthralled child godhead, kneel aware, trembling with beauty and delight and love. But first, the spirit's ascent we must achieve out of the chasm from which our nature rose. The soul must soar sovereign above the form and climb to summits beyond mind's half-sleep. Our hearts we must inform with heavenly strength, surprise the animal with the occult god. Then kindling the gold tongue of sacrifice, calling the powers of a bright hemisphere, we shall shed the discredit of our mortal state, make the abysm a road for heaven's descent, acquaint our depths with the supernal ray, and cleave the darkness with the mystic fire. Adventuring once more in the natal mist, across the dangerous haze, the pregnant star, he through the astral chaos soared away, mid the grey faces of its demon gods, questioned by whispers of its flickering ghosts, besieged by sorceries of its fluent force, as one who walks unguided through strange fields, tending he knows not where, nor with what hope, he trod a soil that failed beneath his feet, and journeyed in stone strength to a fugitive end. His trail behind him was a vanishing line of glimmering points in a vague immensity. A bodiless murmur traveled at his side in the wounded gloom, complaining against light, a huge obstruction its immobile heart. The watching opacity multiplied as he moved, its hostile mass of dead and staring eyes. The darkness glimmered like a dying torch. Around him, an extinguished phantom glare, peopled with shadowy and misleading shapes, the vague inconscience a dark and measureless cave. His only sunlight was his spirit's flame.